Hello, everybody. It's Jenny, owner and founder of The Coach Jenny. I am here to teach you how to live empowered by crushing that self-doubt. So sit back, relax, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. What's going on? What's new and exciting with you? Today is a good day. Kinda, sorta, I think. So I am sitting up here in my office and just gonna just chit chat with you today because that's what I need. I just need to talk to somebody. It's been a little bit of a crazy week, and I'm not gonna lie. Where to start? So mom had her cancer appointment on Monday, and that didn't go so well. So some of her numbers were elevated, and elevated kind of high. So she participated in a new CAT scan or a CT scan of her body to see what's up, what's going on, and what those little cancer cells are doing. But she had that on Wednesday and got the results back. You know, trying to read a CT scan in the portal, you need to have like 14 master's degrees and 9 doctor's degrees and all these other things. So there I am. I put on like my pseudo doctor degree, try to figure everything out, and oh, what a mess. But I don't know. Doesn't look terribly bad, but you know, just trying to handle everything has been interesting. You know, having a mom with pancreatic cancer who's in her middle 70s and a dad who is in his later 70s who's very active, very with it. And he's just like, I don't know what to do, Jenna. I don't know what to do. And I was like, I get it. And it's hard. It's hard. And so this is a lot of things to juggle. So I keep on saying to my husband that I'm super blessed that my full-time gig is being a coach, that I can have the flexible hours of working here and coaching and being able to take care of my parents and my dog and doing all that other stuff. But sometimes it's way stressful. It's super stressful. But just taking a moment. And I was sitting today like, what am I going to talk about on my podcast? And it's definitely not my mom's cancer journey. It's more like my journey. Like, how did I get here? And how did I become a coach? And a little bit about me, because there's many people that don't know who I am. And I have a ton of followers now on my podcasting world. I look at all my data and I was like, holy snapdragon, I have followers all over the world in all the continents, and it's amazing. I'm like, thank you. I would love to say hello and thank you over DM. So message me on Instagram at The Coach Jenny. I would love to say thank you in person. But a little bit about me, if you don't know who I am. My name is Jenny. So that's it. Thank you and good night. No. my name is Jenny, and I guess we'll start from the beginning. So I was born in September, and I was born with a visual impairment. Half blind in one eye, my right eye. And it makes me laugh. I laugh at it now because I have better coping skills than I did back then. But I always say the higher powers that be have a good sense of humor because they created me to be 6'3" and half blind. I'm like, really? Really? Like tall, goofy Mufasa hair and half blind? like the trifecta. Like, did you want me to fail? But people always ask me about my visual impairment, and I don't talk about it as much as I used to because I'm so in it every day that, you know, when you are born with a visual impairment, that it's just part of your everyday life. You just kind of roll with it. And it's just not like, hey, this is it. This is what I do. This is, you know, my thing. I just kind of go on with my everyday life, and I don't know any different. And I had people message me in the past and be like, do you ever wonder what it's like to have vision in your both eyes? Sure. You know, I have vision in my left eye and I wear a contact, but do I ever wonder what it's like to have perfect vision? Absolutely. I wish I had better peripheral vision in my right eye, especially for cycling. But I have amazing vision in my left eye with a contact, and I do wear glasses. I don't like to wear glasses all that often. I don't like having things that close to my face, but I do wear sunglasses all the time, which is kind of interesting. But I'm a big person that will encourage everybody to wear glasses and safety glasses and all that other stuff. Like, I love my Oakleys. Oakley, if you're listening to this, hit your girl up, because truly I have like 15 pairs of Oakleys, and they are absolutely my favorite sunglasses, because truly they're just so lightweight and they stay on your face, and you can wear active glasses. I wear them for cycling to just totally chill like frog skins. But you need to take care of your eyes. You don't realize until one of your senses is defaulted in how much your life changes. But when you're born with one of your senses defaulted, you don't know any different. And I don't know any different. I don't know what it's like to have amazing vision. I don't know what it's like to have a limb not perfect, because I don't live that life. But I grew up just like any other kid. I played sports. I went to school. I had friends. I did all these things, but I never told anybody. Yeah, you heard me. I never told anybody that I was visually impaired until I was 40. I'm going to be 45 this year. So this was 5 years ago. This was a decision that I made, not my parents or anybody else, that I made, that I wasn't going to tell anybody that I was visually impaired. The biggest question is why? I didn't tell people because I didn't want to be treated differently. You know, when you grow up in the 80s and 90s, they're like, oh, you're a quote unquote, you can't even say the R word anymore, special needs. There's something wrong with you. Like, oh, you're one of them. That's not me. I'm fully functioning with a visual impairment. I played sports like the best of them, and I was damn good at what I did. It made me proud of myself that I can compete at the highest level of my athletic career, and people never knew. People never knew. And it was almost kind of one of those things, like so many years went by that people never knew, so why tell them? And after school and colleges and all that other stuff, like, I was like, hey, did you know this about me? And people were like, what? I was like, yeah, so my right eye, it's like looking at a wax paper. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, so if you take your hand, your left hand, and cover your left eye, and then take a sheet of wax paper and put it over your eye, that's what it's like looking out of my eye. And they're like, stop it, you're messing with me. And I'm like, no, girl, like, no. So my vision is pretty much out of my left eye. And if I don't have a contact in there, like, I'm blind as the bat, like, literally. So it was just kind of funny because some of my friends were like, now I understand, like, when you play volleyball, like, you were really, like, turning around. Like, why didn't you, like, face the net? My coach would always say, like, why didn't you face the net? And I was like, because I couldn't see. Like, when the volleyball was coming over my head, I had, like, a half a second to, like, make an approach. And it was just a little bit harder. And thank God I had long legs. My legs inseam is 38 inches. So I could, like, make up time, like, super fast. So, yeah, it was just super crazy. Sorry, let me turn off my mail here. Like I said, I'm doing this shit live. So it's just kind of funny when I sit back and talk about these stories. Like, yeah. Would I change it? No, never. Like, I think the only thing I would change is that I wish I got more resources, more help back in the day, because I think I would have been a little bit better in school. Like, I didn't like school, and it's not because it's like, oh, school was hard. School was hard because I didn't know how to learn, and I didn't understand, because learning comprehension was always one of my hardest things. And I was one of those alphabet kids. They automatically said, you have a learning disability in reading comprehension. Well, no shit. Because when words were coming into my brain was like, didn't understand. It didn't know how to comprehend, like, letters on a page and to in my brain and for my brain to process, because half my brain was like, what is coming into my, like, the vision coming into my brain, like, my optic nerve in my right eye is pinched. It's like taking a straw and, like, pinching it. So, like, the words trying to come into that was upside down. So my brain was reading upside down in one eye and right side up on the other. Yeah. So wonder why school sucked. It took me forever. You know, my brain is finally adapting as a young adult to kind of shut that off. And when it finally shut it off, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, we're just not going to deal with that eye. So it's not like my brain is like, whatever, like, we're not dealing with the eye. It was just like, it truly made me so powerful with one side of my brain. And I always feel like I'm superhuman sometimes, that I can, like, use one side of my brain and then the other side of my brain, because it's just the way I function. And I think that's the way I'm so analytical and creative. And I can pull these sides of my brain and my body, like, I can do this. But for me, and a lot of people tease me in this, because there is no gray space in my world. And I especially working in law enforcement and working with the police department, like, I always said, either you shot him or you didn't. Like, there's no gray space. Like, I would probably be a great attorney, because, yeah, either you shot him or you didn't. Like, I can't fight that gray space, because technically in my brain, there's the analytical side, and I will fight that to the death. So, but it also makes me very passionate and very creative and very loving and very supportive, because that's the other side of me. And this is where I fell in love with being a therapist, because I can use my analytical side and my passionate side to help people. Like, I knew I wanted to help people, because after I graduated college and my athletic career and the sporting stuff was all done, and I was just a broken down athlete. Like, my body hurts so bad. And what do you do after that? Like, if you're not going pro, and I knew when I was done with college, like, I, you know, if you're going to go pro, awesome. But my body was so broken down. I already had, like, two shoulder surgeries couple knee surgeries. Like, I can't go pro. I hurt so bad. So I was ready working with the police department with these sex offender cases, and like it was intense. So I was like trying to find out who I am. Like, I always knew Jenny the athlete. But then after college, like, you have to reinvent yourself. Like, who are you? And I just remember, like, being at a job and I'm still trying to be like Jenny the athlete. And it was a hard transition. It truly was a hard transition because I still had this like athlete side of me trying to be in a career. And I'm like, I really needed to switch gears. And it took a couple years to really figure out who I am. And I was like a mess. Like, mentally, mostly, emotionally, physically, spiritually, just a mess. And those 3 years, it was like trying to figure out me. And I was super introvert and I didn't go out with friends and I was lost. I didn't eat well. I gained a lot of weight and I got sick. Just super sick. And it wasn't until, and I talk about the infamous picture when my dad and I went to a AAA ball game and he took a picture of me. And I remember it's like back in the day, cause I'm like old, took like a camera picture of me and he developed the picture. And I was like, I cried because that girl in that picture, she was sad. Like, sad. She had on these hideous glasses. Like, they weren't Oakley's. She had like double chins, like her gut was bigger than her boobs. And I'm like, so critical of myself. Like, that person was sad. And I knew I needed to change. And I was like, I need to tap back into that inner like badass woman that I was in college. Like, who am I? And that's when I started to fall in love with personal growth and who I wanted to be and falling in love with like creating a better me. And I got back into the gym. I went to the doctor, had a slew of tests done, and I found out like my thyroid was a hot mess and I had a whole bunch of lab work done and just got myself in check. I already knew that I had to step it up. And falling back in love with yourself is the hardest thing that you ever could do. Knowing that I had that mental image of what that picture looked like in the back of my brain, I knew that I was in control of my own destiny. And I had to change. I went back to the gym. I started eating better. I got a nutritionist that I have to this day, and I call her my diet doctor, but she's a doctor of nutrition, and she's like a holistic, like, ninja. I love her, and I had her since I've been like in my late 20s, and she's been taking care of me, and she's part of my treatment team to this day that she knows how to really work my mind over to really get myself in check. And when I started seeing the physical transformation of the old fat self, it was turning into a better me. And I was like, I can do this. And this is when I realized that I can transform myself into anybody that I want to. And I fell in love with personal development, personal growth, personal, like, me. And I started back into the Tony Robbins thing. Like, everybody knows I fell in love with Tony Robbins when I was like 14, when my dad's like, you need to listen to Tony Robbins. He's an amazing guy. And I listened to Tony Robbins when I was 14. And got back into listening to him and all the other amazing coaches that are out there, and the Brendan Burchards and the Mel Robbins and all these other people, I just started taking in all this information and applied it to myself. Like, if you smile more, it'll make you happy. If you live life in gratitude, your life will change. And I started applying all these things to me, and it was working with me, and then I was trickling it down to my clients, because it was also a group therapist and a counselor, what I was doing full time. And I was bringing this happiness and joy and resiliency and sassiness and gratefulness and humor into my career and my clients, that it was changing their lives and it was changing my life. And I was really loving what I was doing. And in my late 20s, I met George, which was awesome. And we landed up getting married before I was 30. And he is just truly my catalyst of everything. He showed me the whole world of national parks. We travel the world together. He is the yin to my yang. And I say that, it's like such a cliche, but he is always happy. Always. It's like freaking annoying, but he's so different. He is wired so differently. He's an engineer, so everything is super analytical. And I am super emotional. And it works. Like, he says the funniest things, and he thinks these things are so funny, and I'm like, God, they're so dumb, and I think these things are funny, and he thinks they're dumb, and we just laugh at each other, and sometimes it just works. And when you find that perfect somebody that just fits you, it's perfect. I mean, sure, he's like a half a foot shorter than I am, it's hilarious, but it just works. And everything started to fall into place. Like, I was figuring out who I am, and life was so good. Life is still good. It just made sense. And I always knew that no matter how shitty things are in life, that you create your own destiny. Like, even with my visual impairment, that life is good. Life is full of gratitude and sassiness and confidence and being resilient, but also being your true authentic self. Like, what you see is what you get. Like, this is Jenny. I have my highs, my lows. I talk to my sisterhood. I cry. I laugh. Whatever, like, that's authentic. I love being authentic because, one, you never get caught up in a weirdo lie, because this is authentic. And this is why I love coaching, because I coach from the heart. I coach from past lessons. I coach from things that I learn. I coach from years and years of experience. And oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many degrees and master levels, things that I've done. And it's ridiculous. Like, somebody, I think in all the years that I've been coaching, there's been maybe a handful of people that ask me about all my degrees. And when I do show them, they're like, and how much money did you spend on all this? And I said, girl, I could probably have lots of Porsches, and I don't, and I'm okay with that. But a long story very short is, you control your own destiny. If you don't like what you're doing, you don't like the way life is, if you don't like what the person that you are, change it. Change it. Make the decision today and stop what you're doing and figure out how to change it. When my dad showed me that picture and I physically saw how sad that Jenny was, I knew I had to change it. What do you need to see for you to change your life? Do you need to see a picture? Do you need to see yourself being fired? Do you need to be fired to change your life? I've been fired. And I'm like, I pivoted, changed my life. Like, sure, all these things happen. That's where change happens. All these things that encourage change are a good thing. What is it going to take from you? What's going to encourage you to change? Is it a picture? Is it a being fired? Is it a kid moving out of the house? Is it an illness? Is it your mom having cancer? Is it a divorce? What is it going to take for you to look at your own self to encourage change? And when it hits you, you're going to be like, holy shit, I need to change. I know. I've been there. I absolutely know what it's like. It is scary as hell. But you know what? Take the steps. Do what you need to do to start changing. Goals can be easy to achieve if you know what you're doing. I'm always here to support you. I'm always here to help you get to the next level. There's many ways that I can support you on your achievements. I'm always available. I love you all. And click the show notes below because I have something new to offer you. It is called Creating Your Life Pillars. Woo! This is something fun and exciting. We go through all your life pillars and we create your action plans. We create just your life mantra. We create your purpose. It is beautiful. Click it, learn all about it, and tell me that you don't love it. So, mwah. Take care. See you soon.